everybody doing this morning? Good? Alive and awake? All right, welcome to Celebration Church. We are glad that you are here. When people say everything happens for a reason, I know that that phrase can be abused and misused, but maybe a better way to say it is that God works all things together for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Maybe that's a better way for us to say it, because it's a biblical way to say it, that God is working together all things for His people that are called according to His purpose. So we believe then that if you are here this morning, that you're here for a reason. And if you're visiting with us, we are really happy that you're here. Make yourself at home. It's going to be a little different this morning. We are going to be sharing some testimonies, and we have three people today that are going to be sharing their story. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation, it says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. In other words, they were people that knew who Jesus was, the blood of the Lamb. They had a testimony of what He had done, and because of the blood of the Lamb and the testimony they had, they did not value their life over the cause of Christ. Testimonies are a part of the Christian life. It's a part of what we do to encourage one another. Testimonies are never meant to glorify sin. Testimonies are never meant to glorify how horrible you were. I don't know if anybody grew up, heard testimonies where about 30 minutes into it, you're like, is this a rated R movie? Or, you know, it's like you're just waiting somewhere for Jesus to get sprinkled in there. Testimonies are about what Jesus has done. And so this morning, I want us to hear from people here in our church that over the years, God has done some incredible things. My prayer is that you'll be encouraged. My prayer is that you will have hope. Because a lot of times you think that where you are is unique. Here's the bad news for everybody. It's not. Your problems are totally ununique. Now, that is not what you want to hear. We all want to feel like my problem is so unique that there's not a solution. And then you get angry when people try to present them. The Bible says to recognize, he says in Peter, that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers and sisters in the world. And this morning, you will find it actually is healing and helpful to know that you are not alone in the fight and in the struggle that you may have. You are not alone in the emotional despondency, the hopelessness, in the frustration or the fear, or insert whatever the issue is. You are not alone. And this morning our testimonies are to glorify God and what He's done. I want to read out of Psalms 40. There's a lot in Psalms 40 we could talk about. But this is Psalms 40 verse 9. He says, I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. That's what you're going to hear this morning. The glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. David is talking about sharing what God has done to deliver him. The rest of the psalm goes on talking about trusting that God will show up in the future. Testimonies are frequently something that happened in the past that they're telling now in the present that will give you hope for what God will do in the future. That's what the testimonies are, and I pray this morning that we receive from them what the Holy Spirit wants. In fact, before I turn the mic over to our first testifier, we need like sawdust in like a camp meeting. Anybody grow up with that? Who wants to testify? And people got up and anyway. Let's pray and let's ask that God would speak to our hearts what we need to hear. Father, we come before You in Jesus' name, and we thank You for this service. God, we thank you for everybody that's here. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that glorify you. Lord, we pray this morning that you would open our hearts to hear what we need to hear and to see what we need to see. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. First person that is going to be testifying this morning is, his name is Earl Hunter. I will give you a quick testimony about Earl. When we started our church as 12-year-olds, that's what it looks like if you see the old pictures. When we started the church back in 2000, we were out knocking on doors. We were just putting flyers everywhere. And one of those flyers wound up on Earl's house and not too far from here. And he had been looking for a church at the time, him and his family, and they showed up, and that was clear back in 2000, I believe, and they've been here ever since. That, all by itself, is a testimony of overcoming and a victory that they stuck around that long. So, Earl is a wonderful man, and the story that he's going to be sharing with you is something that many of you may know, and for those of you that don't know, just you have an opportunity to rejoice in what God has done. So Earl, come on up, brother, and share with everybody your story.
I'm not used to this. Can you hear me? Okay. Several years ago, I was in front of my house working on a car, and I'd worked on cars for the last 50, 60 years since I was just a young fellow. Never had a bit of problem. I was checking the brakes on the back of the car. Everything was fine. I start to turn sideways to get out. One of the jack stands fell. I was underneath the car sideways, under the back of the car. Now, this was a Porsche. You know, they don't sit very far off the ground. I had enough presence of mind to call an ambulance. I don't know how, but I did. As I was trying to get my last breath, now I was sideways, and everything was crushed. I said, Lord, is this the way I'm going to go home? And just as I'm speaking to you, I was told, your work is not yet done. I woke up about 3 weeks later, and on the end of my bed was somebody in a white coat. I don't see very well without glasses. And this person said to me, he says, Mr. Hunter, do you know where you are? And I said, no, not really. And he told me I was in St. Mary's Hospital. And I asked him how long I'd been there, and he said 3 weeks. Apparently, from my family, that everything from the time that I was told my work wasn't done till the time I was either unconscious or sedated, I don't know which. I guess my gift of gab is I don't know a stranger. I'll talk to anybody. I don't care if you're in a parking lot or where, but I told hundreds of people this story. Everything in my body was bruised inside. I don't know if they gave up on me. They were almost ready to give up on me. About 2 years ago, I got pneumonia. Or actually, it was double pneumonia. And they sent me home after 3 days. And an ambulance took me back to the hospital in 3 hours. Something was definitely wrong, and they weren't sure what it was. And I don't know how many days it was before they figured it out, but somebody saw something, and they had to do emergency surgery. And they did, and they had to do what's called a midline. My insides had gone up into my chest cavity. My diaphragm had ruptured backwards. I don't know any recollection of time because I was completely out of it. They had called my family in because they didn't think I was going to make it. I know people from the church had seen me, and apparently I was pretty rough looking. So my wife and my daughter and my son were taking turns in the room with me. I was completely out of it. And one of those days, I don't know which one, I was laying in the room because I had the lights all dimmed because you're laying on your back and you can't move and it's just too bright. So I was just laying there, and my wife had later told me that I was complaining about sharing a bed, and I thought, I'm supposed to be in a private room. That's what I've been told. Why am I sharing a bed? I keep being pushed around. All of a sudden, for some unknown reason, it's like someone turned the lights on in the room. And I threw my arms across my face because it was so bright. At the end of my bed was this brilliant light. Whether it was gold, silver, whatever it was. But I told my wife that, I said, he's here. She said, who? I said, God, he's right into my bed. I was in the hospital for 45 days. I was recuperating for probably 6 to 8 months. I was pretty beat up inside. I got a lot of extra parts in there, which I don't know what they are, to keep me together, I guess. But I don't know what the plan is, but when I was speaking and listening to God, he said my work was not yet done. So I'm still talking to people in parking lots, grocery stores, anywhere I can. And if you all don't believe in God, you need to talk to me. Because I know it's real. Thank you.
You're not supposed to embellish somebody else's testimony, but we as a church did not think Earl was going to make it. It was severe. It was incredibly severe. It's just incredible that God pulled him through. If God's not done with you, you're simply not allowed to die. That's the way that it works. You can try. You can have cars fall on you and other things. It won't work. God's done with us when he's done with us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Earl. Next person that we're going to have share, somebody I love and respect very much. He's an elder here at the church. I met him in the middle of this story that he's going to share. And it's just open your heart for what encouragement you may need. Married couples, maybe married couples soon to be, open your heart to hear what God can do. Rob, come on up.
Mine's a story of near death, but not physically. About 12 years ago, I would say, maybe 13 even. Let me just say, that when I first came here in 2007, I was by myself because my wife and I had separated. Most of you probably know this. I've told this story before. Some of you may not. So let's go back. Several years before that, we went through, I guess, what you'd call a rough patch. A lot of marriages go through rough patches. And during this rough patch, and there's plenty of blame on either side. That's not the point of this. But during the rough patch, I believe we had gone to marriage seminars before, back when we were pretty strong and never thought anything of them, really. But there are three levels of communication or closeness during a relationship. One is intimacy, one's conflict, and one's withdrawal. And we'd gone through conflict, and I started to withdraw. And that was where I started to just let myself think differently. And where the threefold cord of God and husband and wife was woven, I was starting to unweave that. And it's interesting how easily. I had gone through my Christian life pretty easily. I didn't have a lot of struggle. I didn't have any great sin to overcome. I mean, we all do, but I didn't have any great story of sin to overcome up to that point. You know, I thought God and I were pretty straight out, and I never really relied on Him terribly a lot. And then it was in that weakness and in that kind of, it was in that withdrawn, weak time that the devil started really speaking to me. The enemy really worked, and as I look back at it, it started when a friend of mine got divorced, and all I heard at work was how this friend was living it up. He was having a great time. And I kept hearing that, and thinking, well, you know, my marriage is kind of cruddy right now, and this guy seems to be having a really good time. And I had another friend who'd gone through a divorce, and he was remarried, and he spoke about his, I was so glad. It seemed like there were a lot of people that were, I'm not trying to demonize anyone, because I've been there, okay? So please hear me out. I'm not trying to say who's right or wrong or bad, but the devil used these people. I still hang around with them. They're good people. But the devil spoke to me through those experiences. And he just started saying, you know, this doesn't have to be this way. Those were the lies that he began telling me. He used scripture even. You know, because that sounds good when God, you know, you trick yourself sometimes. You've heard relationships. Well, if I feel this way, it's got to be from God, right? You know, no. But you believe that because the devil is whispering sweet nothings in your ear, and he really is. There's a verse that Paul says, do not let the devil get a foothold. I did. I know what that means now. I wish I didn't, but I do, because he just took me for a ride. And I just walked away. And it was, that was in 2007, a year, you know, 11 years ago, almost to the day. It was in March, and we separated. And again, it was awful. And in July of that year, we had attorneys, so we did the whole thing. We went before a judge and said, no, it's done. And it was, you know, terrible. I think I put on a good face for my friends to act like I was cool. Hey, it's going to be my summer, you know. I really don't like this part of me. I'm starting to have a better view of it, but a few years ago, I just can't stand myself because of this. But I realized that as Paul prayed for his thorn to be removed and he took joy in his weakness, this is a line in my story where I should be taking more joy because of what God did. So I'm learning that. But I don't like it. It's not something to be proud of. Some people have stories of addiction that they get out of, and it's like this great story, and you're overwhelmed by it, and I really don't like this one. But I know it's important. So, July 2007, we're done. You know, and we walk away. And life went on for six months, whatever. And I was here. I came here in Easter of 2007. And they there weren't any questions about anything, you know. And God was still moving in my life. He was trying to reach through the static of the enemy that had been speaking to me so strongly. And God was still moving. And, he put me on the worship team. I thought that was a miracle because I didn't come in here and say, "Hey, everybody, I'm a guitarist." Jennifer asked me, "You play guitar, I hear?" I didn't tell anybody that. And so he worked with me here and he got me involved. And I believe that it is through that, it's the fact that, this is a side issue. There's so many people that use these moments and they leave church and they just quit. They just give up on connection to God. I am so thankful that I had fundamental parents that made me go all the time, because that's really how God kept working with me, is through this church and through me being close even though I was far. So he's working with me, and he's putting these thoughts in my head, like, these thoughts about that we had it good, and I still felt for her. I still loved her, and I kept going, "No, that's not right, because I'm supposed to be this, and this is, and none of the things that may have had in my head, none of those things were right." And I finally started to wake up and realize that everything that I'd been pitched was a lie, and all these stories were lies. So, but we were divorced. So around April of 2008, 10 years ago, this month, my grandfather passed. And it was, it was expected, but it was a moment when family comes together. My wife was close to my family. And so we'd had these moments, and I spoke to her, and I can't explain it really properly, just to say that we were talking to each other in the parking lot of work about who's going to have the kids while my grandfather passes. And I'm telling you, God really struck chords in me hard. And it was like, boom, he made my heart feel so open. I'd never been so in love with her. And I couldn't even think about it. I didn't even know why. It was so overwhelming in that moment. And it just kept going. So I don't remember when it was. Maybe it was later that year, or still early, that she came here for the first time. Pastor Steve was scared to death because he thought that we hadn't set it up. He thought, "Oh my gosh, I've got two divorcees that are going to meet at a church and have an all out." No, she was invited. So we started, we started working back towards each other. And it was immediate, and we both knew it. And, she forgave me, and we forgave each other, but I was the one left. So she forgave me. Back in the day, I used to have some good stories where I could say, "Well, let me tell you." I could really spin the story for myself. But when God came to the Garden of Eden, he pushed aside Eve to say, "You," and that was me. So I'm the one who walked. I'm the one who was responsible, and God saw me through that. And so then we started thinking about, I remember people around us, matter of fact, I believe it was my brother Johnny over there had a dream that we were back together before this happened. So it was like in the air. So we started working back together. We went on a family vacation again that year, and we started thinking to ourselves, "Well, what are we going to have to do to make this, legal again? Because we're back. It's done. It's good. Praise God. It's done. What are we going to do to make this thing legal again?" And we started checking in and calling the courthouse, and they're like, "We got no record of this." We're like, "Hey, man, I paid attorney fees." So did she. And they were like, "No. We got no record of this." And we called our attorneys. They're like, "We sent the papers." Papers were never filed. Nothing ever went through. We were married still. We could file our taxes married. But we didn't have to go through anything. It was there. And it was that's a God miracle. And that's a small God miracle. But like for some people, that's the big part of the story, because it's neat. right? We went through the court thing. Everything should have been filed, and it wasn't. That's the neat story, and you could say, but the story is that God knit us together over time, and He put us back together, and wove that thing back. And so we had to go through a little conflict to get back to those moments, but here we are, and we're celebrating 25 years this year. And I always make a joke and say we had a red shirt year, but I try to make jokes over this so I'm not going to be miserable. But it's been 10 years, and it's wonderful what God did for us in those 10 years from then to now. And it's like it never happened. It's like sometimes a story comes up and it's almost like we don't even want to, oh yeah. You know, you want to, when you're talking with somebody, you're like, you remember that time? And it's a story when we were separated and we almost don't want to tell it, even if it's a good story, because it just, you know, but we're over that mainly, you know, we've worked through the fact that it happened and here we are and it's a blessing. And I would end it by saying this. If I learned lessons, I learned some hard ones. I learned that the devil is real and he really doesn't like you. And he lies a lot. And if you're hearing things, if you're married and you're hearing things and feeling things that are saying don't be, you just need to shut that up. You just need to shut that up. You need to say to yourself, this is the person I'm with, and that's it. And then a bad year becomes a bad year memory, not a bad year breakup. And look, every married couple has, oh, our 13th year was awful. That happens. People change. People get growing pains. People get restless. Stick it out. God called you to stick it out. It's the covenant that you made with Him. I say it this way in the end. I like to garden. Gardening is a lot of work. It's lovely, and I enjoy it, and I love the fruit of the labor, but it's labor. If I let my garden overgrow for 3 or 4 years and then go to it and look at it and go, you're doing nothing for me, and walk away like it's a garden's fault, it's not. It was mine. I quit gardening. I quit trying. I just quit. You can't quit. It's very much like my favorite verse in Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works through you. God put you in this marriage. God gave you this gift of each other. Work that gift. Work that gift. It doesn't have to be miserable. It's not an experience of misery. You loved each other. You came together for a reason. God put you together for a reason. If you're having struggles, pray. And stay. That's my. Listen, when I start a seminar on this, it'll be pray and stay.
Thanks, Ralph.
That sounds like a T-shirt if I ever heard. Actually, that might be good. We'll market that. 10 steps to pray and stay. Actually, there's only 2, but we'll make it 10. That's right. God's good. And it is true. I will never forget having spent so much time talking with Rob in those days, and then he didn't tell me that he and Lisa were having talks again, and then she comes walking down the steps, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm prepared to break up a fight in the church service. So anyway, that's what I was afraid of. And I came running around, Rob, Lisa's here. He's like, I know. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. So there's my testimony of overcoming. Multiple testimonies this morning. Our final testimony today is actually going to come from my wife. I have shared her testimony to people sometimes when God does something, you yourself are not even aware of how amazing it is. So, babe, come on up. If you are sitting here this morning and think that God doesn't see you and know who you are and know every molecule of pain that you're in, listen to what He did for my wife.
All right, so I was brought up in church, and there came a time in my life that I quit going and I turned my back on the Lord. And I still had a whole lot of pain on the inside, but I didn't know how to numb the pain. And I was introduced to alcohol, hard alcohol, because that became my source of hope. And that was for years. And every weekend, that's the only thing I could think of, and that's all that I wanted, and that was all my hope. I just couldn't wait to numb the pain. Something had to numb the pain. It got so bad that a weekend that I was supposed to go numb the pain, everything got canceled, and I couldn't go to this place where there was alcohol provided. I wanted to take my life. I mean, that sounds ridiculous that you can't have something, you would want to end your life. But I like what Rob says, the enemy is a liar. And he had been lying to me for years. And I bought into it. And it was on my mother's birthday. And I just remember pacing my living room and trying to think of a way to take my life. And toying with my heart. Well, it's my mom's birthday. She's always going to remember it's the day I took my life. And the weirdest thing happened. So bizarre, and I don't know why this happened to me, other than His grace and mercy is very, very real. I went into my bathroom, I suppose to end my life, and when I shut the door, my hand was on the doorknob, and in a flash, I saw every person that ever witnessed to me. I saw their faces calling out God. I just kept hearing God. Kept seeing their faces on this doorknob. Just that flash moment. And I hit my knees. I remember crying out, God, I will serve you. I will serve you. All the days of my life, I will serve you. And it was absolute. Immediate. All of that, almost a jitter, like you have to have this alcohol, was gone. All of this hopelessness was ripped. It was like an explosion happened on the inside of me that I wasn't searching for, that it just happened. And I remember just laying on the bathroom floor like, what just happened? I felt so excited, full of hope. Remember laughing, like, this is amazing. I feel so much joy. And my mom, that was a very hard worker, actually left work. I called her to tell her I love her. I didn't tell her anything else. She said she knew something was wrong. So she left work early. She said, I was so afraid you were going to take your life, which I didn't tell her. My mom knows. So mothers, don't ever stop praying. So she rushed home, left work, and when she saw me in the chair, she went, oh my gosh. She was so afraid I would find you gone. And I said, Mom, I got saved today. I got saved. I said, I don't want to take my life. I was just absolutely, we laughed and she said, well, I got to fix you something to eat. So we ate and we talked and she bought me a Bible the next day. And what should have taken my life, the enemy had a life, this journey that he wanted me to continue because I was listening to him. And he had me in his grip and I was following him every step of the way. And it looked good. It looked good. I was in college because I blended with everybody. We all did our thing. I was in his grip. And in that second, the Lord took me out of his grip. And I'm forever thankful.
God is good. When I was praying about the testimony service, I didn't want to ask Jennifer to share. Just felt the Lord leading. Jen needs to share. Rob needs to share. Earl needed to share. This is what I want to ask. And this is not an emotional trick to get you emotional and then ask for prayer. But we do want to pray with you because when you hear these stories, you may relate to any one of them or you may be encouraged or you may have something totally unrelated. But I do want to ask the elders if you all would come up front. We want to just end our service today by providing an opportunity for anyone who needs prayer for anything to come up and receive that prayer this morning. And if you're not coming up to receive prayer, you guys can go ahead and come on up front if you would, elders. But if your marriage needs prayer or you have been caught in the grip of a lie, it's unmanageable. If there is anything going on that we can pray with you over, we want to have you come up. In fact, let's just all go ahead and bow our head. The biggest thing that we want to invite you to receive prayer for this morning is if you do not know Jesus, this may be your hand on the doorknob moment where God is providing an opportunity for you to give your heart to Him, to submit and to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, my life is in your hands. It's yours. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you are who you say that you are, and I need you. It is not an emotional decision. It is a life-altering surrender. If you need prayer for anything or in particular salvation, go ahead and just come on up. We want to pray with you. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these testimonies. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your healing and your restoration. God, we pray that you would work in the hearts of these people today, all of us,
an encouragement and an hope. God, I pray that who you are, we would see how awesome you are. That you never let us be tried beyond what we could endure, but with every temptation provide a way of escape. We are always in your hand. Nothing can jerk us out of it. God, I pray that hearts would be encouraged and filled with hope today. In the name of Jesus. Somebody would stand up with me. I want to leave the elders up here. We're going to dismiss, but I'm going to have the elders stay up. If you need prayer, please come and let us pray with you. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to see you back here at this table, but we're going to dismiss. Yes. Yes. No. That's perfect. And that's true for everybody, I believe, that shared their testimony. We just want you to know that if you would like to receive prayer, come on up. And the rest of you, thank you for being here. We love you. You are officially, lovingly, graciously dismissed. But the elders are here for prayer. And if you're visiting, please meet us at this table in the back. We'd like to give you a gift. Thank you so much.